Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the what? The American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is June 14th, 2018. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, folks, if you haven't made this choice, make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please, normal thing, leave your leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is, as it always is, 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates updates with the breaking news. Just a second, folks. The updates with the breaking news, mission updates, and so on and so forth. You can find all this information at the, you can find all this information about the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, everything at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Now remember, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live, on the, simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube and some FM stations, so please pray about supporting radio airtime. Because, folks, airtime isn't free. You know, a lot of people are neglect to think, well, you know, radio is free. Well, sure, it doesn't really cost you anything except maybe electricity and so on and so forth. But with us, I have to pay airtime for airtime. That's pretty neat. I have to pay airtime for airtime. I have to pay for the electronics and all those things. And we don't sell anything. And so we're only on the air by your kind donations, and we'll maybe talk about that later when we get on with the program. Anyway, on another note, let's thank our listener base real quickly in places like Westminster, well, London, United Kingdom. You know, we used to go just like London, England. Whatever happened to that? I thought it was just London, England, but, you know, London, the UK. Anyway, Vancouver, Canada, you know our wonderful friends over there that are mad at Trump. Auckland, New Zealand, Munich, Germany, and Chongqing, China. I guess that's how you pronounce it, but there are people who are listening in China. And, of course, cities in the good old United States such as Dallas, Texas, Los Angeles, California, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Cincinnati, Ohio, Colorado Springs, Colorado, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they podcast later on tonight. Anyway, well, let's move on with this. And follow us and share us on Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. And, yes, I'm laughing and chuckling because I have my producer over here making little notes back and forth to me, and I'm trying to concentrate because I am, after all, going to bring him on as a guest tonight because there's an important thing that happened this last week, and I want to bounce it off of him. And he really usually has some pretty good takes, especially on reading reports. So let's have a prayer, and we'll bring Frank on, our producer, with us. Which, you know, by the way, Frank has his own radio program, and it's called The Frank Report. And you guessed it, folks, on The Frank Report, he's really, well, he's just real frank about things. Anyway, dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not our will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father, in your son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, I already gave the intro for him. We're talking about Frank Stephan, who he is the founder of American Voice Radio, and he has his own program called The Frank Report, which he talks about much of the things that are going on today, and he's on every day of the week, although on the weekends it's recorded things, though, but he's live all during the week, and I'm not sure if that's one or two programs, so hey, let's just ask Frank. Are you there with me, Frank? Or did you
am, Dan.
Oh, boy. And you're coming in loud and clear.
No, that's good.
How are you?
Good. I just need to answer your question when you said, gee, what happened to, you know, London, England? Well, London is in England, but why they call it the UK is because Scotland and Wales are not England, and they never will be. Okay? So they have to call it the United Kingdom, meaning that, you know, that whole island they consider their kingdom. And, you know, mm-hmm. they forced Scotland and Wales and some of the other little places into their kingdom. And, you know, and that's what England did. So they call it a United Kingdom, but, you know, it's not all that
okay.
united.
Well, you know, it just seems in my head, you know, hey, I'm going to be 63 next year. And I got, next month. But meaning that, I could look back and I go, well, that was 50 years ago when I heard about that or read that. So, you know, I feel like I got a little bit of leeway here, you know, because been such a lot of years. Okay, having said that, didn't they just simply used to call it London, England? I mean,
well, it is London. And that is proper. London is in England. Mm-hmm. you know, and England is part of the United Kingdom. You know, I mean, that's like saying you live on Dirt Street in Wichita, Kansas. Okay, there's Dirt Street, there's Wichita, and then there's Kansas. You know, Wichita is part of Kansas, like England is part of the UK. So you could say London, England, United Kingdom, if you wanted to be really give people directions to where you're talking about. But now we just call it London Stan, you know, so that's
London Stan, oh my gosh, can you believe, and that was even the direction I wanted to go, but now I've got to talk about that for a minute. That see, you're such a master, folks. He's a master manipulator. You know, he's going to end up having this program go wherever he wants it to go. Even though I wanted to do something else, we're going to end up talking about something else. As most of you know that have tuned in many times in the past, where I start off, well, we're going to talk about this. Next thing you know, that subject never even got brought up. But anyway, so back to London, Stan. You know, it's just crazy. If you see. Folks, if you see pictures of London and how trashed up it is and all the knife stabbings and all the things going on, and it has a mayor that is English and they're passing all of these laws against Christians and things, I mean, isn't it? That's just nuts. Why do they want to destroy their city? I don't understand that. Back to you.
I don't either. I mean, it's this political correctness and I just don't understand, and I think a lot has to do with voter fraud. You know, I mean, they have the same, everywhere they have the same problems with elections. And you know, this is not, I want to make it clear that I'm not just talking about the yes now here in the United States, the Democratic National Committee has been exposed as cheaters. But, you know, the thing is, this, you can't just blame them because there's been vote rigging since voting began, okay? You know, and like Mark Twain said one time, he says, look, if voting meant anything, they wouldn't let us do it.
Yeah. Very good, Mark. But let's go back to this. I mean, you know, London, you know, I watch movies and seen museums and history books and everything all over the years, and it is such a place that is so rich in artifacts and history. And, you know, cool things there that, you know what I mean, even whether it's Jack the Ripper, the London Fog, the London Bridge, and so on and so forth, but yet they're willing to throw all that away to be politically correct. I mean, it's just nuts. But isn't a large portion of Europe is the same way? Back to you.
Well, yeah, and you know, I don't think this would have happened if these countries had not allowed all this unfettered immigration of 95% Muslims into their nations. And that's what it was. I mean, oh, gee, we're letting in refugees. Yeah, they're all Muslim. Okay, 95% of all the refugees and all the asylum seekers and all the migrants are all Muslim. How's that? Why? Why are they all refugees? What's wrong with your own country?
You know, it's nuts. I mean, you would think the population would rise up. I mean, you know, I seen a sign yesterday. It was from someplace in the United Kingdom, and they were talking about how at the lake, you know, there's signs up telling no alcohol on the beach. Well, you know, we see that at beaches around here, but you know what I mean? No alcohol on the beach, no dogs, no bikinis, cover up, no, and so on and so forth, and it all to appease the Muslims. Now, I thought even though they were refugees, isn't the whole point of a refugee if you go to another country to assimilate? But they don't care about that. I think they want it disrupted.
I think they do, too. And you know, listen, Christians need to stand up. Okay, this you know, Birkenstock-wearing, long-haired, hippie-type faggot Christianity has to go away. People need to read their Bible and find out who your Lord actually is. Yeah, he's kind. Yes, he's loving. He did the biggest act of love for us that you can imagine by giving up his life to save our eternity for us. But, on the other hand, hey, yet there's more. Keep reading. Once you get to Revelation, you're going to find out what a sweetie pie Jesus really is. When he comes back, he's not happy. And he's not going to be kind and sweet and nice. It's going to be a time for time to pay. So, you know what? We're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to be Christ-like. And everybody seems to stop reading once they get through the love and kisses part. Well, there's more, folks. You know, it's just like you or me or Dan or everybody else. We have many aspects to our personality. Yeah, we can be nice. Yes, we can be loving and caring. Yes, we can do nice things to try to help people. But then again, you cross us, what happens? What do? When somebody crosses you? You get mad. You get angry. You might even slap them down a little bit. And that's just part of our nature, because we were created by the Father, and he has the same nature that he passed on to us. And you can read it in the Bible, all through the Bible, not just Revelation. And people stop reading, just like they do with Romans 13. Well, right there, you see, you got to obey the government. Well, okay, but there are parts right in. Keep reading again, you know, because Romans 13 goes on to tell you, okay, and here is the government you're supposed to obey. There are, you know, qualifications. They have to do good, not evil. Well,
yeah,
that's not
absolutely
happening.
let me throw this in here. A couple of little things real quick. I had to make notes because you were talking so fast. Number one, back, go to the government first off. Number one, you're absolutely right, you know, about, yes, you're supposed to follow a government if it's godly, not if it's ungodly. That's just like the man's supposed to be head of the woman, and then she becomes the queen of the house. But that only works out if the man is godly first, you know what I'm saying? So that's a two-way street. It's not a one-sided affair. But talking about Messiah, though, let's get this point real quick, folks. You know, you want to say, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. First, the big problem that had people with the Bible is they go, oh, he wrote that clear down here for me today, and it was recorded. Well, yeah, to a point, but he was still talking to a certain group of people. The certain group of people he talked to, if you go read your Bible, you know what? Most people don't even realize that he didn't even step out of the boundaries of Israel. During his ministry, he was preaching to Israel. Okay, so that meant he was talking to different tribes, mostly Judah or whatever, but he was talking to different tribes. But here's the point. He said to them, love your neighbor as yourself. But he was talking in the sense of brethren, because in another part he says, for without the kingdom are dogs. And so there's the comparison. Here's the point. Yes, you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself, but your neighbor that we're talking about is your godly neighbors. You're not called to have to love them that are out there slaughtering you. Oh, I love you. No, I don't have to love you if you're slaughtering my children. I do not have to love you for that. Because when, like Frank said, when he comes back, he's going to slaughter all of them. His bridle is going to be knee-deep in blood. He is going to go around slaughtering those people that did not accept him, And so, folks, you got this crazy idea in your head that he loves everybody, and he's, and oh, my buddy, he's a queer, and so we better love him. Well, you know what? That's an abomination, and when Yeshua comes back, he's going to slaughter him if he's still alive. That's what's going to happen. And so if you love this guy, you better tell him that he needs to get saved and quit being queer, and then he'll be saved. That's the real picture. Back to you, Frank.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the thing people also need to realize is that, look, Jesus isn't coming back to murder everybody, unless, of course, you consider, you know, when you take a murderer and you give him a fair trial and it's found that, yep, you're a murderer and you're guilty and we're going to execute you. That's what's going on here, folks. It's not Jesus is coming back to punish us necessarily. He's coming back to exact the sentence. Just like you break any law. The wages of sin is death. You sin,
right?
I'll call it a punishment. Your punishment is death. Death. That means dead. You don't go anywhere after this. You just die. Boom. That's it. You're dead. No more life. No afterlife. None of that. Unless, of course, you consider being in hell an afterlife. And, you know, and nobody knows how long that's going to happen and be there. Are we going to be there forever? Yeah, well, there's parts in the Bible that says so. So I believe it. And, hey, why would you want to even mess with it? I mean, it's like, wow, that's, the, you know,
there's
whatever it is,
point.
It's bad. You know, whatever it is, it's bad. We can argue about, well, no, you're going to be in hell 999 years, not eternity. Oh, really? Is that all? Well, gee, never mind then. You know, I mean, it's a bad, no matter what way you look at it.
Frank, that's the point. You know, the biggest thing that I hope the folks got out of three programs on it was this. Any way you look at it, I'm not going there. I don't want to go there. I don't care if I burn up instantly for an eternity. I don't want to burn up instantly for an eternity. And I don't want to suffer for 25 billion, trillion years or whatever. I don't want to do either one. I want to go to the other place. What is even the argument over it? Yeah, it might be bad, and it might be even worse or bad, but any way you look at it, I don't want to be there. It's a bad place.
Oh, yeah.
I want to be with Yeshua.
But,
I mean, how about you?
Oh, me too. And people need to understand, though, you're guilty. You have been judged already. You got one way and one way only out of this. That's it. And if you choose not to take it, then you don't. But it's nobody doing it to you at this point but you. You deny
right.
it, or you accept it. Nobody's forcing you either way. You know, I mean,
yeah.
You got this choice, and it's
That's
up to you.
Good. So, Frank, you preach from the pulpit, do you, huh?
No.
Well, you're doing a wonderful job. I just thought I'd, you know, ask.
Well, I don't know. I'd be one of those, you know, hairy men on
fire
a box.
And brimstone team,
hairy men
you know?
On a box in the middle of the town square where the people are throwing rocks at him. Yeah, that's my kind of thing.
Like one of the prophets, you mean.
Yeah,
you know?
Because
and that's another thing that really drives me crazy. People and I'm a prophet and all this stuff. They don't even know the meaning of the word of the torture that a real prophet went through. I guess it goes back to that. Just do they ever read their Bible?
I don't think so.
I mean, it's like, what book are you reading on a guy? You know, I had somebody send me something the other day that was just like that, you know, telling me everything about him to want, you could tell when they want you to think they're a prophet, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But they don't want to really say it. They want
right.
you to say it. And so I just dodged around and finally I said, well, you know, just what are you trying to say? Never got an answer. I never got an answer back.
Yeah, well, that's one thing. Nobody has a problem with me is, you know, I mean, if it ever gets to the point where somebody's asking me, what are you exactly trying to say? Usually, if I haven't already, because I try to make things pretty clear about where I'm coming from, but if I fail, I repent quickly and let you know exactly where I'm coming from. I don't like mealy-mouth lying, I can't say it on the air, but anyway, people that lie just do that. I don't like it. And you know, the sad thing is, Dan, and I don't know, you probably deal with a lot more pastors than I do, and I am not talking about any pastors on this network, because everybody on this network is basically biblically based, and they do
right.
read their Bibles, but the few outside ABR pastors that I've had an opportunity to speak with, I honestly get the impression that they don't even read their Bibles. And, you know, that's a really disturbing thing. Look, I get it. Joe Lunchbucket, you know, he goes to church once a week, and that's that. And he doesn't really read his Bible. He depends on his pastor to tell him what the Bible says, which, you know,
right.
I mean, if you've got a legitimate pastor, that's not such a bad thing, although you really ought to be, you know, that's, you know, we're supposed to have a personal relationship. And going through
right.
your middleman pastor for all your, you know, your relationship
yeah.
or contact with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost is not really all that personal. That's like telling God, well, I'll have my people talk to your people and maybe we'll do lunch or something. You know, I mean, that's not all that personal, you know? And some of the things that come out of some of these
yeah.
the things
yeah.
come out of these pastors' mouths is like, now wait a minute, I have read my Bible, and that's not what it says. Where are you getting this? If you're not getting it out of the Bible, where are you getting it? And of
yeah.
course, they don't want to talk about it. And there's some horrific publications out there that actually call themselves the Bible. Which, if you start reading them, you're going, wait a minute, this is nothing like anything I've ever read. My King James
yeah.
Bible. What is this?
The translations. Beware of the translations. Well, Frank, tell them where you can find them. They can find the Frank Report, and we'll go away for a break for 3 minutes, and we'll come back.
Well, theamericanvoice.com, americanvoiceradio.com, or abrn.tv, that's where I'm at. And I'm on twice a day, because you mentioned this earlier. I'm on at 2 p.m. Pacific, right before you on Thursday. And I'm also on 8 p.m. Those are both live shows. And as Dan pointed out, yes, the weekends are replays.
Yeah, amen. All right, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes if we're lucky.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Well, we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, I am talking with Frank today. Stephen, we're talking about different things. I want to let him make his announcement first before I forget about Father's Day program or something, and then I want to tell you a little bit about the Mission Church, and we got another good conversation to talk about. Frank, tell him, what are you talking about? Father's Day. Hey, what day is that?
Sunday, by the way. I believe it's the 17th, but it's Sunday, is Father's Day. And because Colonel Bogreitz long ago sent me a package of DVDs of Spike training. There's like 36 DVDs and 96 hours of training on this. It originally was on VHS tapes. And he had sent it to me and wanted me to do something with it to make it available because it was, you know, making 36 DVDs, separate DVDs,
right.
Is a time-consuming thing unless you're some commercial operation that has these machines that'll do that. It's just,
right.
And it became overwhelmingly too much to do, so he asked me if I could do something, and it took me years because the technology and costs and all that just wasn't doing it until recently. And we have put them all on now. All 12 phases are on a 128 gigabyte flash drive. Okay? We
right.
have that available for you. But the announcement is they're both available on the website bogreitz.us, bogreitz.us. And what the sale is a 50% off. Okay, 50% off sale on the downloadable Spike training. And you can download them by the phase, phase 1 through 12. There's 12 phases. The description's right there, so you can pick and choose which ones you want, or all of them, whichever. 50% off if you use the coupon code DAD18. Okay? D-A-D-1, numeral 1, numeral 8. DAD18. If you put that in where the coupon goes, you'll see that. Apply the coupon. You will get 50% off any of the downloads, as many of them as you want, until Sunday. You know, this will work until Sunday. So I wanted people to do that, because this is great. Anybody out there interested in preparedness or survival or, you know, militia sort of stuff, any one of those things, you should get these. Because the thing is, you'd think, oh, yeah, special forces, kill them, blow them up, whatever, you know, all that, right? Well, there's also in there on... How many of you out there know how to give birth to a baby or help a woman give birth to a baby? How many of you know what to do if that birth results in a breech birth? You know what to do? How about if the cord is wrapped around the kid's neck? Do you know what to do? You know, this training will let you know what to do. So I just want people to know and think it's a great gift for dad, unless dad's a soy boy, of course. But, you know, hey, if he's not.
Let me throw this in real quick for you. Number one, you know, a lot of I know the folks that listen on your station, you know, probably know who he is. I bet you there's some people out here that listen to my radio program have no idea in the world who Bo Greitz is or what he was.
Well, he is the most highly decorated Special Forces commander in U.S. history.
Yeah, amen, amen. And if, folks, if you've ever heard of Randy Weaver, he also part of his claim to fame is he was able to negotiate Randy Weaver getting out without getting his head blown off. I guess that's a pretty clear description, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty good. And the rest of the children not being killed. Because, let's not forget, the FBI will kill all the children because they already killed one of his children and his wife. So, and not just his wife. His wife, while holding a baby, they shot her in the neck. Like, in an inch or so, it went by that baby. So they will kill children, too. So, yeah.
We also found that out with Waco. But anyway, folks, hey, you know, check out the DVDs. That's something to do. And we'll talk some more with Frank in a minute. But, Frank, I got to give a little plug for the Mission Church.
Okie dokie.
Anyway, well, folks, you know, it's Wichita Mission Church, of course. I always talk about it. Amen. Well, that's because what I do, that's basically what everything I do here on radio. While I love to warn the people, and it's a great gift to me from the Father to be able to get on here and warn you folks and talk with you folks and get the opportunity to talk to all these book offers. It's a wonderful thing to do. But you know what? It's all about also is about gaining some attention to the problem that we have in Wichita. We have a Wichita Mission Church there, you know, and we don't sell anything. I don't even have DVDs to sell or any of those things. We only stay around because of your donations, period. We have no other way of getting any money. You know, I prayed about it a bunch of times. I said, Father, give me a business or something. I can start a business so I can pay for the Wichita Mission Church or do this for me, and I'll work as hard as I can. But you know what? I'm working every day in this ministry, every day as it is, and getting ready for radio, doing radio, Wichita Mission Church, being a pastor, and then being a dad and a granddad and all that, you know, doing first aid with everybody. You know, I am consistently always busy. But still, if he dropped a dump truck in front of me and a shovel and I could find work with it to pay for the Mission Church, I'd try and squeeze it in. My point is, that isn't what is cut out for me. What is, though, is I am the pastor of the Wichita Mission Church. We do need your help because in summertime, and I was talking to other guests about this, that, you know, summertime, there's just a general slump, right? When everybody gets out of school, a lot of people jump in and go on vacations or do something. Something happens, but there is a slump. I even know some businesses that told me the same thing recently. Yep, as soon as it comes out, spring break, you know, right out of school, there's a drop. And so with us, there's a drop in donations. With us, it stays that way clear almost. Well, when we go back to school, get back in school, the donations pick back up. And so, you know, we're really having a hard time paying everything right now. I need to pay radio. Radio hasn't been paid this month. I need to pay radio. I don't have anything to sell or anything to hawk or anything to go get the money to pay radio, but the radio station needs to be paid. Also, the bills at the Wichita Mission Church need to be paid. Are we feeding people? Yes, we're feeding a huge amount of people. We've just put some extra chairs in there and things because people are coming in trying to escape the heat. And then in the summertime, there's more wounds and everything to take care of. We're doing these things. And, you know, just miraculously, miracle after miracle, because I go over there with practically nothing in my pocket or, you know, $2 or $3 in my pocket. And before the day's over, somewhere there comes a $20 bill or something for me to put in the gas tank to get back. Or I go over there and there's $100 waiting on me so I can go buy some meat for dinner, you know. And we feed on the lowest average at the 4:30 meal. We serve 60 plus people a day with about 15 dozen egg sandwiches only and that go from 1 to 3. And so we're feeding a lot of people, and even the people we feed at dinner time are not all the same people that we feed from 1 to 3. We're feeding a lot of people. We're giving out a lot of Bibles, which, by the way, I've only got about 1 or 2 left over there, so I need some more King James Bibles, and I need first aid stuff, blah, blah, blah. I need all those things. But pray about it. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. After all, we're not some fly-by-night thing. If I was a fly-by-night thing, then how could we have did this by faith for now that we started our 19th year June 1st. Think about that. We've been doing this for 19 years. Hey, and I've been on radio. I've been over here at Brink Station, I think, since 2004, I think it was, something like that. Been doing radio, period, since 2002. So I'm not fly by night. I've been around a while. So pray about it. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, like I said, because donations is what keeps us on the air. Now, you can donate online or mail a check or money order, or you can even call me and I can take the information over the phone. But you can find everything you need to know at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now, hopefully, Frank hasn't decided to just let me talk by myself because, well, I do a better job talking to people than to myself. Are you still with me, Frank?
Yeah. I'm not allowed to just walk away. The boss would really have a fit if I did that.
Yeah, well, what do you do, look in the mirror and chew yourself out?
Yeah. But you know what? You have no idea. I come across a lot of the times as a real harsh, demanding. I don't really appreciate poorly done work. I don't appreciate bad attitudes. I don't appreciate any of that stuff. And, you know, people think, gosh, this guy's hard, you know, hard, right? And the thing is, though, you have no idea, though, how I am to other people about stuff like that is only a fraction of how I am to myself about things.
Oh, so there's more to Frank than just the... Frank, right?
Well, no, but it's I'm just as harsh to myself when I don't perform the way I feel that I should have with anything. I'm very, very harsh on myself as I am with others. You know, I expect everyone to do the best they can all the time, and I expect the same from myself. And I don't know, I fail. You know, I fail from time to time, right? You know,
yeah.
I really do. And when I do, I get really angry. Okay, I really do. I get more angry at myself than I do others because I expect to do better, you know, than that.
Well, amen. And actually, we should keep ourselves in check. Here's a number one, a big thing. People out there, the Word tells us that when we do a job, whether it's digging a ditch, or it's, you know, washing a window, or it's writing a book, whatever it is that we do, we're supposed to do it as we're doing it under the Lord, you know. And, you know, that's what I was telling somebody the other day. So, I do all this and nobody ever thanks me. Well, so?
Yeah, so?
What's it matter? They don't need to thank you. Do your job because you're supposed to do your job and it's the right thing to do. And if it's the right thing to do to help somebody, help them. Let them worry about the thank you, it's between them and the Lord. Do it as you're doing it under the Lord.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying?
Well, you're old enough to know that some of these old sayings that we both heard as children, hey, if a job's worth doing, it's worth doing right.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
absolutely.
I was brought up with that. It stuck with me, and it's because it's the truth. Why are you doing anything if you're not doing the best you can at it? Why even bother? Go sit down.
Right. That's it, really, if you're going to do it right, do it efficiently. And, you know, I don't want to do the same job twice. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you know, and it is one thing that I do greatly appreciate about you. When I said I did talk radio before, basically I recorded a sermon and then gave it to the station, you know what I mean, and they played it over the air. That's what I did. When I did talk radio, that started talk radio on live radio, that was a whole new world.
Oh, I remember.
And you, I mean, it was like, man, this guy, Hitler, I got to talk to Hitler today, you know, because Hitler is going to get, if I'm half a minute off going off my break, I'm going to be in trouble, you know. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. But that disciplinarian, that attitude helped me to be able to do radio, to function like I am. So you trained me, absolutely. And I appreciate that. And I don't think, and let alone with me, it wouldn't have worked in another manner. So whatever you did worked with me. And so I love radio.
Well, as a matter of fact, now Dan has gotten so bad that he doesn't even want to do pre-recorded nothing, ever.
No, I don't want no. I can't stand pre-recorded radio. I just assume no. It has no energy in it.
Well, that's
no
true.
Energy.
It is true.
Okay.
Live radio has an energy to it, and working. Look, folks, I did. A lot of people don't, because I don't say a lot about it. But I actually went to Bible school for like 9 months.
Really?
And I didn't leave. I finished it, you know, that's how long it was. And the thing about it is I one of my assignments one time was to do, and I got to pick what it was, what I wanted to do, but you had to do an exegesis and a report and a whole thing on whatever. I picked charity. Okay, I did a thing on charity. And I went in it with a completely open, empty head, really, because I didn't know much about charity. You know, okay, you give a guy a buck. All right, that's charity, right? All right, fine. That's about what I knew about it, right? Well, I found out a lot more when I read the Bible about it and actually studied it. Charity is a very difficult thing for people, okay? A very difficult thing. And a lot of stuff we call charity is no such thing, okay? Because charity is supposed to be, you do something for somebody else expecting nothing, nothing, nothing in return, and you do it only because they need it. And
right.
If you violate any of that, it's no longer charity. If you're going to sit there and give somebody anything and then gripe that they didn't even thank you, right? Sorry, you just lost your charity there. Whatever benefit, whatever blessings you would have gotten for doing charity, you're not getting them now. Because if you're going to sit there and gripe that nobody thanked you, and that seems pretty innocent that, you know, well, it's just common courtesy. And I agree, it is just common courtesy. But some people are not very courteous. Does that mean that now you're supposed to be upset at them? Wow, I wish I wouldn't have given him any money. I wish I wouldn't have given him that sandwich. I wish I wouldn't have done that for him. He didn't even thank me. Well, man, you are not being charitable.
Right. Well, let's go with this. First off, you know, in the King James Bible, it uses that word charity. But if you look up the word charity, it says love. So, you know, having said that, let's move into this. It depends on where you want your reward. Do you want an earthly reward, or do you, I don't want anything on this earth. I'm doing what I do out of charity to help people with their needs. I do it out of kindness and love because, yeah, it's the right thing to do, but I do it because of another reason, Frank. The reason that I have for doing what I do is because I am so thankful that the father changed me from being some crazy outlaw, stupid, idiotic biker to somebody that was, he changed me. That person is dead. I'm no longer a menace to society. I help with society. I got a family. He restored me, gave me a family. He gave me all these wonderful things. No, I don't have any riches. I don't usually have any money, but that isn't what matters. He gave me the things that matters in my life. He gave me grandchildren. He gave me family. He gave me him above all. And so I am so thankful. The way that I serve him is by serving others. And so I don't want him to thank me. And I really don't care about a reward in heaven because I'm already going to get my reward as far as I'm concerned. And that's just simply being able to be with him for an eternity. And if he wants to give me a broom and say, hey, sweep up the kingdom of heaven, hey, I'm first in line, whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful. Back to you.
Well, yeah, and I wish more people would have the thankful spirit and the realization that, look, you know, I mean, we're not here for that long. This is kind of a short gig we've got going on here. And, I don't want to say it doesn't matter because it does matter. But it's not going to determine what happens. You know, you can't work your way into a place in heaven. So
right.
All the charity you do and all the other stuff you do, you better not be thinking that this is paving your road to heaven, because it isn't. Your faith paves your road to heaven, and
right.
That's it, you know. But the other stuff is just because it's the right thing to do.
Very good.
I mean, really, what's wrong with that? What is wrong with just doing the right thing? I have found in my life, if you go, no matter what situation it is, if you always try to do the right thing, and you always go into whatever it is you're doing with good intentions, stuff usually works out pretty good.
Yeah, amen. And that's with people, you know. And there goes with that. We all can't be theologians and study every word out of the Bible. And you know, in fact, the more that I learn, the more that I read, the more that I really don't know, that it's going to have to be straightened out by the big man, you know,
mm-hmm.
and his dad. And that's what's going to have to happen. But in the meantime, but that does convince me of my faith, that I have a lot of grace. But I still, the word says, I am still supposed to do the best attempt that I can at doing just what you said, the right thing. Whatever I perceive that to be, I need to try to do the right thing. And I get a guideline, and you can get those fundamentals from just superficially reading the word. If nothing else, folks, start with the Ten Commandments. It's a great place to start.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you've got to try your best for just being the right thing. Back to you.
Well, yeah, and just like, you know, people, atheists or non-Christians, they always like to point to the man and say, well, yeah, that's nice, but look at you. No, don't look at me. I fail all the time, okay?
Right.
I mean, I fail all the time. Just because I go into something wanting to do the right thing doesn't mean I always end up doing the right thing. Just because I go into stuff with good intentions doesn't always mean I end up having good intentions. I fail all the time. Not all the time, but on a regular basis. And I just have to repent and go on and try again. Try and try again, brother. You know, that's
yeah,
it. You just
yeah.
keep trying and you keep doing the right thing. And I have found in my life that, you know, if you do that, things tend to work out.
Yeah, amen. I totally agree with you. You have to just try your best. And there's the kicker. When you fall down, get back up, get back on that horse, however you want to put it, and go again. But repent of the things that you did. Okay, I messed up. I did that wrong. Be honest. Give real repentance. If it's a situation where you hurt somebody, make it up to them. But you got to move on and not drag that bag of rocks around with you. That is your old things that you did in the past, because they don't matter no more.
Well,
you can't change those things.
You know, and people like to point to Christians when they say things like that, you know, like you're supposed to do the right thing, and then they'll be, you know, you're a hypocrite because you're not. No, you know, that That's like saying, well, you know, the founding fathers, they owned slaves and they had concubines and they didn't, you know, they had all these Christian principles, but they didn't live by them. So what? They're just men. The principles that they wrote down is what is matters, okay? And they, you know, they tried their best to live by them and failed just like everybody else does. You know, and
right.
It's just the way it is. And it's sad that people, you know, and then Christians take it like, well, gee, that's right. I better not say anything. You know, I better not preach. I better not tell people the right thing to do because they'll just tell me I'm a hypocrite. And they're right. I am a hypocrite because I have done those things. As a matter of fact, I might do them tomorrow. Oh, no. You know what? Just because if my dad had a great line that I hated. It used to make me so mad. I used to think of him as a hypocrite. And I was a kid, young and dumb, and I didn't know any better. But, you know, I knew enough to not argue with my dad too much because there was bad things happening if that happened. And, you know, but he used to tell me when I'd start going on and on, yeah, but you're doing this, blah, 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 right? And he'd go, hey, you know what? You do as I say, not as I do. And, you know, people don't like to hear that. They think, well, you're a hypocrite. Well, maybe so. But it's still good advice.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We have to try to do our best. We do have a rule book or whatever. We've got to try to do our best, and that's the point. It's okay to fall down. It's okay to fail. But you got to get up and run the race. You can't just sit in your chair and say, okay, you know, it's just like people, Frank, that say, okay, I'm saved. Now they sit down in a chair and wait for Jesus. It doesn't work that way. If you are saved, that's a thing called faith. You have faith to believe that you're saved. You have faith to believe his word. Then you need to get up off of your back end and do something about your faith. You know, you need to walk in your faith. Faith is an action word, not a sit-down word.
Well, you know, and the Bible makes it very clear that, you know, everybody understands that, look, you cannot work your way into heaven. All right, fine. But then the Bible also says, you know, what gets you into heaven? Well, your faith. Jesus said, oh, well, hey, thanks for healing me. I didn't heal you. Your faith healed you. I mean, this is Jesus telling people this, okay? And so, okay, all fine, right. We get it. Okay, so faith is what is important. Works doesn't get you into heaven, but the Bible also says without works, faith is dead.
Well,
so
that's because,
you know, it's
Frank,
a circle.
Frank, it's like this. The things that you do, the kindness and all the things that come out of you after you're saved, you should be producing fruit. You know, and that's what it means by show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my work. Because behind a saved man, you can see his works, whether it's in his mate or, you know, it's in his household or the things that he does in the street or simply when he gets up and goes to work or says hi to somebody at a gas station or to a little old lady. Those are all works and they come natural. They're not something that you try to perform. They're something that is supposed to come natural. And we only got about a minute, so you better say goodbye and tell the folks where to find you.
Man, kicking me out again. I feel like that's the way it is.
I feel like I just got here, too.
And anyways, wherever you're listening to this, folks, generally speaking, you can listen to my show, too, unless, of course, you know, you're listening on an affiliate, which doesn't necessarily carry my show too, but American Voice Radio Network. I'm on at 2 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Pacific. Both are live shows. So tune in. Got a call-in number, and it's toll-free and everything, so you can participate in the show even.
Well, amen. Maybe we'll do a call-in show one of these days. In fact, our next guest even suggested that you would do a call-in for it sometime, and that's Pastor Carl Gallup. But anyway, Frank, thanks for being on with me, and we'll talk again. I got to go.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
All right. Folks, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church, and, you know, pray for President Trump. And I don't know if you read the IG report today. Probably haven't had time, 500 pages. But remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. And he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Well, that's a shock to so many people. Just being good isn't going to get you into heaven. So you can't earn your way there. The only way that you can get there is through the Son. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, folks. That's like praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King Universe, Father, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and that you would give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.